Everybody, it's Jake Senzi. I host the Jake and Gino podcast with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy. Gino Barbagino, how's it going?
Jake?
Don't start talking walls with me, dude, because the walls stand up, all right?
Trying to get the wall down. We're trying to tear down the walls. You know, I want to see the softer side of Jake. Maybe it will come out in this show, but let's do some
push-ups and pull-ups, all right? We can do that. All right, enough BSing. Our guest today is a serial entrepreneur, author, and consultant for high-producing real estate agents. He's an expert in business strategy and strategic marketing who has used his adapted techniques to set him and his team apart and fill an industry void. So without further ado, Jason Wilford, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited. You guys seem to be a bunch of fun.
Damn it all, you better be excited because we bring the juice, all right?
Hey, it's exciting to be in this world today.
It really is.
It's a blessing.
Yes.
So, Jace, we were bantering a little bit before the show, and I know you've had a tremendous business career. You got some shows, you got some really cool stuff coming up. But, you know, I would get in trouble by the G-Dad if I did not get your background and your story. So please share with us how you got started in business.
How I got started in business is I was homeless when, and I'll give you the fast story. I was homeless when I was 18 years old, lived in my car. In September of 1999, I was fumbling around in my life, trying to find out where I fit in and where I can move forward in my life. I was starving at that point, and I walked into a place that I thought was a travel agency because I thought working around vacations obviously would be fun. What I didn't know is that day would change my life forever because what it was not was a travel agency. It was vacation ownership. It was a timeshare place, and I walked in with a Tommy Hilfiger shirt, baggy pants on, two earrings, one in each ear, and looking for a job, which is not the smartest thing to do. But the gentleman, Richard Canonis, at the time, dressed in a super sharp suit, he said, you know, hey, let me ask you a question. Can you go home and take those earrings out of your ear? Yes, I can. Can you go change your pants? Do you have like a suit that you can wear? Yes, I do. I have one suit. That's all I have. Do you have some nice shoes that you can put on? Yes, I can do that. And went home, changed, came back. And that's when my life changed forever because I got into 100% commission sales at that point. So I worked in the vacation ownership industry for a couple of years. That was my college. I learned from frigging wolves on professional sales floor that some of them making the top, making $350,000, $400,000 a year on 100% commission sales. Then I went to the remodeling and mortgage industry. I went to work for the second largest remodeling company in America. And I learned, worked through sales, a very systematic, disciplined sales system, just like in the timeshare industry. So I learned a lot there, became a general manager with that company. Things I learned through there that I use in real estate are big media marketing, radio, TV campaigns. We had $300,000-$400,000 a month going out in TV and radio. I had my telemarketers, I had 20 to 25 telemarketers at one time, 20 to 25 canvassers at one time, had 20 to 25 very well-polished, disciplined closers at any given time that it was my job to train them and to grow them. So, you know, I was rocking and rolling in that industry until October or November 2008, when the Great Recession really hit, and I got slammed. I learned a lot of things on what to do, but also what not to do as well. And so a couple of those years there were very tough. I lost virtually everything, house, boat, BMW, everything. Or close to everything. Luckily, I had a second car that was 20 years old that I could learned a lot of things not to do. And that's being highly leveraged on credit, obviously. November 2011, me and my business partner, we joined together. She had been successful in real estate in the past. She'd been going through similar. Also, my life partner, as well at the time. And November 2011, we had had enough of how we were living at the time. We were not living the quote unquote best versions of ourselves. We drew the line in the sand, and that's when we said we've had enough, and we went into business together in real estate. What, 3-4 years later, we were Inc. Magazine's 354th fastest growing privately held company in America. The next year, 904, the next year, 1345, which is really tough to have exponential growth year over year, because each year you reset and you have to grow again. So in a nutshell, that's my story, fast story in real estate. I now work with, and I've always believed in learning from the best of the best. I honestly barely graduated high school by the skin on my teeth, but something later on, and I still try to pinpoint where it happened, that I just became a massive learner. And somewhere it triggered also that, hey, I want to learn from the best of the best, whoever I can afford at that particular time. I'm going, even if I can barely afford them, mm-hmm. I'm going to hire them to learn from them. So through the years, I've been blessed with some of my direct mentors, being Jay Abraham. He's known as the $21.7 billion man, a.k.a. The godfather of marketing. He's $120,000 per day for a private consult for 8 hours is how. And why does people pay that? It's because he's really freaking good. Michael Burnoff, he's a world-renowned human communications expert. Ben Gay III, he's Napoleon Hill from Think and Grow Rich. The Think and Grow Rich.
Does he have
Rich.
Anything to do with the sports cream, though?
No.
Oh, okay. Jay I just Abraham figured it was did. Like a family thing, but I guess not. All right.
Jay Abraham did, though.
Okay.
Icy Hot.
There you go.
Icy Hot would not have even, which I played sports when I was younger and still do now, do some Brazilian jiu-jitsu and martial arts and a workout 6-7 days a week. I live here in Miami Beach and South Beach, ride the bike. Daily, get some cardio in. But anyway, I used the Icy Hot when I was younger, and which is crazy that now working with Jay Abraham, that Icy Hot, I never would have put that on if it wasn't for him, because that company would have went bankrupt.
So Jason, where was that shift in 2011? You say you wanted to live the best version of yourself. What does that look like now? But what did it take at that moment at the depths? Because right now people are looking at you going, hey, he's here. How do I get there? There's no way. What was that switch that you had back in 2011 that allowed you to say, this is enough. I'm sick of living in credit. I'm sick of living, driving a 20-year-old car. Where was the shift there?
Yeah. And it was a conversation that I started with my partner, and I asked her, hey, what are you doing? Because she was working on doing a little bit of work on the computer. I asked her, what are you doing? She's like, hey, I'm putting some work in. At the time, she was selling like 8 CG drops. We're doing what we had to do just to, get by. We have, three girls to support as well. We started the company with $700 between the both of us. We all cash. Of course, our credit sucked at the time. We had no choice than to go with all cash. So what we built was all on cash. But that defining moment, I asked her, hey, what are you doing? Said, hey, I'm just doing some work. I was like, no, what are you really doing? Like, what are you going to do? You're successful at one time. I was successful at one time. What are we going to do so we don't have to keep avoiding debt collectors and living not even paycheck to paycheck, worried about, electric being shut off and all kind of, shit like that. And you know how women can be, hey, what are you doing? Was the question that came back to me, which was a wonderful question. And that was the defining moment. We were sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm. But then we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. What's the next step? Is the next step collaborating? Is the next step going out, building a business, raising money? What is that next step?
The next step is taking one step in front of another and executing, because really learning is for losers. Mm-hmm. Learning is important, but learning is for losers if it's just for your own intellect. If you're reading books and doing all that stuff and you do not execute upon that, what good is that? So that was what we, that was the defining moment. Hey, what are we going to do to get out of this? And it was like the next day that we got started. Well, obviously was to acquire, hey, how can we go acquire new clients? And again, when you have $700, not, hey, I have $700 to launch this business. We have $700 only between the both of us to eat off of, to support these three kids off of, and to start in business. So, you know, hey, what can we do that is cheap to zero expense to get started? And we went back to freaking old school, knocking on doors. We want to do it, but we had to do it.
Education, Jim Quick says, is a change in behavior. Right. If you don't change your behavior through the education, that education really is pretty useless. And Jake and I like to say education times action equals results, which is great. We need to take education, but we need to have some kind of action behind that education. You wrote a great book. Let's dive into that book. Why did you write the book?
Why did number one reason why I wrote the book with Jay Abraham was I wanted to deliver massive value back to the real estate community, being real estate agents. The book is very relevant also for really anyone in the housing industry, whether they're builders, loan officers in the title industry, insurance, et cetera. But specifically to real estate agents, with my number one mission in life, because I almost died last year at the end of, not last year, of 2020 now. And my personal mission statement became very clear and simple. You know, hey, I just want to impact, positively impact 10 million or more people through my lifetime is what my mission became. And through writing this book, how do I spread preeminence throughout the real estate industry? And chapter four is called The Preeminent Agent, which comes from Jay Abraham's strategy of preeminence, which is being the most trusted, most authoritative, number one go-to, the trusted advisor to the consumer, the advocate for the consumer. You're falling in love with the client above and beyond your own products and services. You view the consumer before they're even your client as your client, and you play the long game, being that you're in the lifetime client game, not in the transactional, hey, I just sold that deal and made commission game. Because, and why do I feel it's so important? It comes down to data. You guys may have read the book, Good to Great by Jim Collins, an amazing book. That book took years and years to write because it was all on data and metrics. So it wasn't on theory, it was on fact. And this book is right on fact as well. And one of those facts is per study of Business Wire. Here's the true fact that a lot of real estate agents like to bury their head in the sand like an ostrich. Or maybe they don't know the fact, but the fact is that 11% of consumers trust real estate agents.
That's lower than politicians.
That's and the media. Not good. That's not good in an industry that there are tons of disruptors that would like to intercept those billions and billions.
Why behind
of
that?
Real estate commission dollars.
Is there a why behind that? Was there like basically, you know, testimonials saying this is the reasons why like the mistrust is so rampant in the industry?
I honestly would have to go back to it top of mind. And that would be a great, we kind of know the answers. There's, you know, and it really comes back to preeminence. Are you preeminent or are you not? Are you after a commission check or are you not? You know, what value do you provide? What kind of preemptive marketing do you do to educate clients that, hey, it's a lot more to it than just opening a door and, you know, making a bunch of money? Because one of the perceptions in real estate from consumers is that real estate agents just make a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. And that is just not the fact, because the fact is even another data, piece of data is per NAR, the average realtor last year only grossed around 43,300 dollars last year, and they had $5,300 worth of expenses. So we can do the figuring on that. They only netted around $38,000. And that's realtors on average. Mm-hmm. That's not all real estate agents. Yes. The number is much lower, which is probably around $20,000 to $25,000. That's not the truth. And how does someone effectively market someone's home if they're, if a real estate agent is selling their home, if they've only sold 4.5 transactions annually, which is the average number, another piece of data, and they only netted 20,000 last year. Mm-hmm. How can I afford to effectively market your home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in my experience, so we're obviously in multifamily real estate, and I have very little experience in single family home transactions. And I've had one, and then I've been in this house that I'm currently in since then. And even in that one transaction, the agents wanted to list my house for significantly less than I thought it was worth. I then did not listen to them, got 30,000 more. And then it got into a bidding war and it got pushed up even higher. So that was the first mistake, because I felt, you know, a certain way and they were trying to push back against it. And then in addition to it, I said, you know, if you want this, you know, I'm comfortable with, I think it was, you know, let's just say 5% commission at the time, you know, on the deal. And, you know, we were kind of going back and forth, and on a Saturday afternoon, one of the agents literally came to my home and I was upstairs playing with my daughter, and started like hardcore negotiating with me to the point where I had to kick her out of my house. So like, when these are the types of things, when you have, you know, commission breath and ultimately you're Amen. Not in service, you're in service for yourself, to your point. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of things, folks, I'm just saying to the realtors out there, this is the kind of shit that causes this mistrust, and you have to be in service. And look, people don't like being hardcore sold, even, because here's the thing, I was being sold.
People love to buy things though.
Correct. But I was being hardcore sold by the agent just to get the deal done on my end to sell it, regardless of the back end and the sales after the fact. So I felt like I was driving the ship, and you know, it was more of a hassle than a good experience. So I think, folks, you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, obviously, you know, damage the relationship, and then it will not lead to referrals in the future.
Jason, I honestly think part of my life purpose is to add more value back into the real estate industry for real estate agents. And just quite honestly, I want to raise the standards in real estate, because quite honestly, just like even that experience that you had, that was a personal experience.
And I'm a big boy. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that's what it was. So like, I'm not going to.
But you'd have been a pissed off boy.
Yeah.
For sure.
I was pissed anyways.
$40,000 like you.
I was more pissed that the person came into my home and was having this type of conversation in front of my daughter. I literally had to kick the woman out of my house. It was awkward.
That's horrible.
So Jason, let me add on to that strategy of preeminence. I know that you talk about the client. You have to view the client as the client and is not the customer. A couple of the things that I'm going to add on that as well. We like to employ what we call same side selling, which they talk about finding impact together. If the realtor or the real estate agent went to Jake and they tried to find some type of impact together, working together, it's almost like putting a puzzle together. You're on the same side of the table. You're working together. And for realtors out there, it's okay to say no to Jake if it doesn't work. But Jake, by the way, since I've given you a great experience, do you know anybody who would help? And it's always about educating the consumer and letting them know, because they can go online and find out where the information is.
How do you become the expert? By educating the consumer.
I agree 100%. So that strategy of preeminence, everybody.
I felt like it was the opposite though. I felt like I was educating them on the market, and it just, know.
Well, and this
they weren't preeminent.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the problem now is that the market is so hot. There's a lot of people. There's a low barrier to entry, so anybody can get into the space itself. They don't really have the sales techniques, and it's ABC, always be closing, instead of FIT, find impact together. That's the problem, and they don't have the long game. Jason, how did you adopt that long game? Because Jake and I talk about it on a 100-year podcast show we have. It's really called long-termism, that 100-year mindset where the client is here, but that client has so many other people to refer to. You want to create that experience. How did you have that shift, and how do you teach people that shift of forget about the instant gratification, transaction, equity, or commission breath today, to looking at this and creating a long-term relationship for tomorrow?
Quite honestly, I fell away from it for a while, but I try to do business like my grandfather did business. Mm-hmm. My grandfather's been passed away, for 22 years now. And I got away from that, honestly, being in one call, close industries, timeshare, vacation, ownership. I still had those values, but those industries were, hey, you either walk out of the deal, walk out of the home with that deal or out of the sales office that day, or they're not buying or selling. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing that evolved through amazing mentors that I've had through the years. One of them, Rodney Webb, he is like the Tony Robbins in the remodeling industry. And someone asked him in a meeting one day, hey, do you think you're the best closer in the country in remodeling? He said, he thought about it for a second, he said, hey, I don't even think that I'm the best closer in Atlanta. And you know why? Because I don't have to be. Because when I'm done with my presentation, everybody always wants it. Mm-hmm. They want to buy it. Mm-hmm. I haven't sold it to them. Mm-hmm. And just the level of trust, Stephen Covey talks about, the levels of trust. And that's a huge piece of being preeminent is the trust gap. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't want the trust gap there. You want it there. And really, it's my great mentors, Jay Abraham in particular, through the years, has coached me, mentored me back to lifelong clients versus just a one-call closed sale, where I agree with Jake, where he said, hey, that's a part of being preeminent. And that's one thing, a part of not having commission breath is there's not that desperation where I have to do a deal to be able to feed our families. Because we all three, just being real, if we were flat out broke and we had to feed our families, and we're going to have some commission breath. Not that we would do the wrong thing.
You got to damper it down, though, with a little spray or some gum or something, man. You got to, come on.
You got to put some Bengay on, Jake. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get some
maybe the Bengay will back you off a little bit,
But, going back to, I agree, having, you always have to do the right thing and have those tough conversations. That's a part of being preeminent. And going back to advising them, even if you aren't the best fit, because really, if you're being preeminent and you're through consultative selling, being straight up with them, letting them know that, hey, maybe I'm not the best best fit for you in your situation. That's a part of being preeminence, is that you're not just trying to earn their business just to earn their business and get a paycheck. If you do know someone else that is in another niche that can better service that person, that's preeminence. It's, hey, I'm not going to be the one that's going to be able to best help you out. There's actually another guy that can help you out better because of your current situation. And or
live to fight another day. It's a small world out there, right?
Or right now is not going to be the best time for you to buy a home. It's actually going, for your situation, it's actually going to be best for you to wait for 6 months or a year. That's preeminence.
Yes. Jason, before we go to the short answers, what do you see small businesses, especially in the real estate industry, doing wrong with their marketing? How can they get better at their marketing?
Very first thing they can do to get better, that we all can do to get better with our marketing, quick shameless book plug, The Ultimate Real Estate Machine. There's two chapters in there that go in. They really, the whole book, there's mentions of marketing. Obviously, Jay Abraham's the godfather of marketing. But one chapter, you know, goes into, and you can only get so specific on marketing. There's only so much room in the book, but it goes into direct response marketing, not just looking at marketing as branding. Direct response marketing is, hey, if I put in $1, how do I get $3 back or $5 back, $10 back? You know, it goes into, you know, actually testing and measuring your marketing, tracking, reporting your marketing, you know, where are you getting returns, where are you not getting returns at. Goes into copywriting, which I believe is the number one biggest skill set that you can get. It's actually my favorite skill set that I have is writing ad copy. That's how you don't just sell face to face anymore. That's how you can sell to the masses through print. Print not just being like a news article. It could be email, text, campaigns, you know, sales letters, whatever it may be. In the book also, there's a chapter called Marketing Mistakes That Cost You Huge Profits. And we could do a whole 2-3 episode. We could probably do 20 episodes. We could do 29 episodes probably on each one of those marketing mistakes, because there's 29 common marketing mistakes that not just real estate agents make, that business owners make. And when you live in the world of optimization, the truth is you never fix all of those mistakes, because there is always room to get more out of what you currently got. So in that chapter, it goes into each one of those 29 marketing mistakes and what you can do briefly to fix that marketing mistakes. And even just fixing one of those marketing mistakes, like you could fix one marketing mistake that you're currently making, and it can have amazing results on your business. And one example that I like to use that I pulled from Abraham, even just a simple headline.
Yes.
One crappy headline to a magnificent headline, the results are 2100% difference. 21 times the difference that an ad will pull having a magnificent headline versus a shitty one is 21 times the difference. So you'd get 21 times, you could get 21 times more the lead flow. Then the multiplier on that is it being not just the lead flow, it could be a 21 times better of a lead, the lead quality, response, et cetera, et cetera. So
love that.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, we are back. I think the copywriting is huge. I completely agree with you. It's not easy. It's sometimes even, you know, hard to find good copywriters out there. I know there's plenty of sites, but to really get it dialed in, you know, definitely takes a working relationship. On the personal growth side of things, what is your best habit for success? Something you do on a daily or weekly basis?
My best habit for success, it's in my daily routine, and quite honestly, many of those listening may have heard of the Miracle Morning. And yes, I believe that, hey, the Miracle Morning is great. How Elrod did a magnificent job writing the book. You know, in a nutshell, the routine of that book is SAVORS, which is an acronym that stands for silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing, which is journaling. And yes, I like that. But one thing I honestly don't believe in is that, you know, not everybody, I don't think everybody, the early bird is not the only one that gets the worm. I personally, whether it's right or wrong, I used to wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm more of into living life by design. And, you know, hey, if I work till 3 a.m. in the morning, I'm probably not waking up at 5 a.m. I just think that that's kind of for some people, that's a fallacy, and it's really whatever works best for you. Because I know some people that, hey, I wake up at 4 in the morning, that's my thing. I go hit the gym. And yes, I believe in hitting the gym every morning. And yes, I'm usually learning, listen to a podcast, listen to YouTube, listening to a book while I'm working out. So I'm also feeding my brain, because Jim Rohn said that you can either make your mind a treasure chest or you can make it a trash can. So I'm also always wanting to program my mind. Everybody that comes in here thinks it's cool, but it's approximately, to describe, it's 5 foot by approximately 20 foot, and it has nothing but writing on it. And it's programming my mind to win, because I have spent over $60,000 even the past 2 years on programming my mind to get what I demand out of life through professional neuro-linguistics programming. How do I persuade myself and influence myself to get what I want? So that's another piece of, you know, programming the mind. But I just wanted to also just finish up with that, is that I don't believe just because everyone said, hey, I have to work, that's what you have to do, is you have to wake up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. and work out every morning. But also those folks that I know that do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that works for them. But they're also usually in bed at like 9 p.m. and I'm working like 1, 2. That's just when I get shit. Sometimes, you know, especially with creative work, you going back to copywriting, writing ad copy. I do a lot of info products as well, a lot of creative stuff. I used to think, where I used to lie to myself, and I had a bullshit story, as Tony Robbins calls it, that, hey, I'm not very creative. I lived with that story, that bullshit story, for 40 years, and it was complete bullshit, because I am actually a very creative person. But sometimes that's just when those creative juices get out for me. So that's just one thing I did want to, you know, hit on. You know, whatever works for you that allows you to, you know, and it comes down to mental models. What do you think? Like now, when I think, when I'm challenged with things, my mental model, my next thing, when I have log jams in my business that's holding me up, challenges, my next thought is figure it out. Figure it out. That's just how I think. Figure it out. You know, through training I've done like a simulated Navy SEAL boot camp in Orange County, California, with a past Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. It was an immersive, very physical boot camp, but I had a lot of mental breakthroughs doing that. Like one of them, all in. Are you all in or are you not? And there was stuff we had to do on the beach that was not pleasant, that really drilled in your head, you know, all in. And that, you know, hey, details matter. Because if you screwed up on your details, I mean, it was like it was military style stuff. If you screw up on your details, you were doing push-ups, you were doing crunches, you were doing bear crawls, you were doing all kind of physical stuff. I couldn't stand it then. But it's amazing of how it's programmed my mind, just like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu does. Reason I started that was because I have claustrophobia. And if you know a little bit about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu And I'm a decent sized guy. I work out a good bit. So they pair me up with the damn biggest damn dudes, usually 250 pounds, you know, plus, and being smothered on the bottom with someone. But it's allowed me to break through.
You got that Ben Gay in the face. It's just all over. It's juicy. Got some Ben Gay. Bacteria is flowing. Yeah. All the bodily fluids.
Ben Gay the third. I want to go ahead and throw that out there. Out of respect for Ben Gay the third, he is, even though his name, he's also worked with greats, like, again, Dr. Napoleon Hill. He's known as his last protege. He's beat Zig Ziglar in sales contest, worked with Zig. He's worked with J. Douglas Edwards, Earl Nightingale. His book sold over 15 million copies, and they stopped counting like 20 plus years ago. So out of respect for him, because he is a great friend of mine and a direct mentor of mine, I just want to give him the props that he deserves. He's actually going to be on my, he's going to be today, he's going to be helping my cast members for Agents on Fire, my streaming TV show that I have. So he's actually coming in on an episode to mentor with them, because he's known as one of the most magnificent sales trainers in the world.
All right.
Excellent. So to summarize the answer to the question about the best habit for success is 6 a.m. is for the birds. Don't put me in a box, bro. I think that's what we got out of it, right?
It's what works for you. Mm-hmm. But keep moving. Keep moving and moving forward, executing.
So $700 in your pocket, you know, you and your wife were there and trying to figure it out, come together. What did you learn about scaling a business from that point? You know, because obviously you didn't have much, and so many folks look to the future, but they can't see it. And they try to imagine what it's going to be like. So any tips for scaling, any stories that could benefit the folks?
Yeah, there's a shortcut to success, and it's called mentorship. And it's even in the book, you know, another fallacy is that, hey, you have to take each step to the ladder of success. You have to take each step to the top, which is bullshit. You don't have to take that. How do you skip? Yeah, you can take the elevator. Absolutely. You take the elevator, and you can go much faster with an elevator. And you can skip steps with the mentor that has been there. And
think about this.
That.
The ladder is just you. Jason gets on the elevator with Ben Gay and he tells him what to do. And then he gets there a lot quicker and it's a lot easier. So I think this is a great analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're learning on their failures. And if you're a great student, which is what I'm finding out, because I'm the mentor and the host of the TV show. So I'm mentoring all of the agents. And, you know, quite frankly, there's a couple that are executing at a very high level. And there are some that are doing a little bit, but not doing a lot. And there's some that are doing nothing, and just not showing up, which is life. That's life anyway. The ones that are executing, like even Miss Angela, through Elite Agent Referral Mastery that I've given all cast members, she's just an executor, and she put over $6 million worth of additional business under contract of referrals within her first 30 days from what she learned. She didn't learn. She went and executed upon what she learned. And she's having success. So that was one instance where she has a great mentor, not tooting my own horn. I'm not being braggadocious. I'm just saying I am great at what I do. There's not many things I am great at life, but getting people to where they want to go, I am great at. But she's executing. I didn't do it. It wasn't me that did it. She did it. Yeah, so it's taking the action.
Zito, you gonna wrap this sucker for us or what?
18-year-old homeless, out of the house, doesn't know what to do. 2008, Great Recession comes. The gigs were good, you know. He's doing great. That direct sales, the whole vacation rental industry. I'm just not a big fan of it. If one call closes, you're going from looking at a customer as a customer and having that transformational shift with $700 in your pocket and saying, what am I going to do? What's the next steps? We're not living our best version of ourselves. What does that look like? Living the best version of yourself. I want everyone who's listening to this to take a step back and ask yourself that question. Are you living the best version of yourselves? And if the answer to that is no, the next question is, how do I do that? Then the next question is, where do I get a mentor? I either pay to play or I seek to serve. Those are the two options, everybody. If you're older, you got some bucks and you don't have the time, you pay. If you're younger, you go out there and you hook your wagon to a Jason Williford or a Jake and Gino or to whoever, anyone you are trying to
get emulate. On the elevator, not the ladder.
You take whatever you got to. I'll get on the damn elevator on the ladder when I first start. I just want to find that ladder, or that elevator, and it's okay. This is not
ladders are dangerous. Elevators, are inspected.
But Jake, let me make a couple more points on this because this is what we've always been talking about: the long-termism. Don't be afraid to defer gratification. That's the biggest challenge that we have nowadays. And, Jason says he has ADHD. We all do. I mean, I can't sit still for more than 10 minutes. It's that focus and that dedication that you need, right? And don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Plan your life out. Go back to what Stephen Covey says. Start with the end in mind. Reverse engineer your life and what happens 30 years from now. What are the actions you need to take today to get there 30 years from now? And the last thing I'll say, it's all about values-based decision-making. Seek out what your values are. Jason's values are different than Gino and than Jake's, and it's okay.
Know your core values. Exactly. Your personal core values.
Exactly.
What do you stand for?
Mm-hmm. And live based on them. Every decision you make, you want to write a book? Does it align with your values? Do you want to go into business with Jay Abraham? Does it align with your values? Do you want to start a business or a show? Does it align with your values? And if it does, the answer is yes. And if it doesn't, and don't make those decisions out of fear-based values, make them out of conscious-based goals. Work on that. Value, identity, thinking for the long term, and ask that question, am I living the best version of myself? And it's okay if you're not, because a lot of us aren't. The next question is, how do we do that?
Boom, shakalaka. Jason, thank you so much for your time today. Truly enjoyed it. Guys, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.